Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us in this moment and lift us up with Christ as he ascends to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am 15 years old. I crouch beside the bed. I dial the California number with shaking fingers. It's long distance, but Mom said it's okay. I hear the line buzz and ring once, twice. The click of the receiver and the man's deep voice on the other end. Hello? Is this Dr. Downing? Yes? It's Nevada. Pastor Dan kicked us out of the church. And then I begin to sob and wail and hiccup into that gray portable phone. The old Baptist pastor listens as I tell the tale. I'm trying to hold back the wails. I'm trying to hold back the shaking, the sobs into the phone. But it keeps coming. And so for 2 hours, Dr. Downing, the old Baptist pastor that I write handwritten letters to once a month, for 2 hours, he listens to my teenage heart. 2 hours. He makes time for me. He puts on hold all of his book writing, all of his sermon prep. He cancels all of his counseling sessions. And he listens. He listens to a 15-year-old boy cry for 2 hours. He makes time for me. When we think of God in his triune life, we are sometimes suspicious that he lacks just this, that personal touch, that making time for us. After all, we know, as Scripture teaches, that God dwells in unapproachable light as the high and holy one, exalted and lifted up beyond this world. And so he seems far away, busy in his running of the universe. And he seems to have even taken away the one person who may have been willing to pick up the phone and listen. Hello? Jesus. And both of our readings this evening would seem to confirm our suspicions. At first, Jesus seems to have time for his disciples. There is time. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus has time. He lounges with them at table for 40 days, his lips smacking over the barley bread and the fish. For 40 days, he walks the roads with them. He has time to stop and take the pebble out of his sandal. For 40 days, he has time to gather them in places like Galilee and then on the grassy slopes of the Mount of Olives. Jesus has time for them. He has time for their puzzled frowns and their arched eyebrows. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus has time for their doubts, for their problems, for their concerns. Shaking his head, no. It's not for you to know the times. The times are seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But no sooner has Jesus said this than the 40 days are over and the time is up. God doesn't seem to have much more time for the disciples, for humanity. Jesus' heels leave the ground. He moves upward. His hands extend in a final blessing. A cloud whisks him away. And Jesus is gone. The Father has taken away the one person who may be willing to pick up the phone on the other end. Hello? Or is that true? St. Luke observes that the disciples return to Jerusalem with great joy. It's kind of an odd statement, considering that Jesus has just been zapped away into the heavens. An odd statement, considering that now it seems like their time with Jesus is over. But St. Luke gives us a clue when he says that a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, as good moderns, we hear that and we kind of scrunch up our nose. Okay, a cloud took him. So a bit of cumulus floated across in front of Jesus on his way up into space. I don't know. But the disciples standing there in that moment know what the cloud means. Their gaping mouths begin to shift into grins. Because into their minds in that moment are rolling all of these stories. God descending upon Mount Sinai in a cloud filled with fire. The very presence of God shrouded in glory in a cloud. Their minds are rolling towards Ezekiel, there by the channel Kebar in Babylon, looking up, and the storm cloud roaring out of the north towards him. The great chariot of Jehovah, shrouded by a cloud. The very presence of God, near to the prophet in his exile. And then, the one that all the Second Temple Jews kept thinking about and pondering, Daniel's vision. Daniel the seer looking, and behold, the Ancient of Days on his throne, the fiery wheeled throne with all of the angels surrounding it. The Ancient of Days with his flowing white hair. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming on the cloud of heaven up to the Ancient of Days to take his seat on the throne to rule above time and space as the master of all creation. And so the disciples smile at the sight of the cloud that hides Jesus from their eyes. Jesus has ascended into eternity, into the heavenly temple, into the timeless triune life itself, into God's time beyond time. And the disciples know what this means. It means that there is someone at every time and in every place there to answer that phone. Hello? In Christ's ascension, the triune God brings our flesh into his life, into his own eternity. And in so doing, the triune God makes time for us. As the cloud covers him, time and space no longer bind Jesus in the way that they once did. Because he is present to the Father by the Spirit, his life intersects with all of our lives. He sits on the Father's throne. As the author of Hebrews, who spends 16 chapters pondering the ascension, says, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is there as our hands shake and as we begin to dial that long distance number. We hear the ring once, twice, and then that voice pick up on the other end. Hello? He ascends beyond time to make time for us. As prophet, priest, and king, prophet, priest, and king of time, he makes time for our tears, for our prayers, our rejoicings, our worship. He makes time for the puzzled 5-year-old sitting on the edge of the bed in the midst of family prayer, rambling out the questions. Jesus, will you give me ice cream when I die? Do you like raisins, Jesus? Jesus ascends and makes time for a 15-year-old boy sobbing into a phone with a distant pastor. You see, Dr. Downing's making time for me all those many, many years ago was simply a participation in Jesus' own answering of the phone, a participation in Christ making time for me. Hello? In one sense, we could say, of course, Christ has left the timeline of this world. We don't see him walking around in the streets of Jackson. But in another sense, he has simply engaged time at a deeper level. God's roaring eternal life is not cut off from us, not cut off from the season of our days, because Jesus sits on the throne of the Ancient of Days. Jesus sits on the throne, and so by his Spirit, his life intersects every moment of our lives, every time of our lives. As the Australian theologian Benjamin Myers puts it, Jesus has not gone away, but has become even more fully present. Because he has ascended, his life is universally available across time and space. And this is why in our Anglican tradition, our prayer book places this feast day on the same level as Christmas and Easter, Pentecost, because this is the moment when redemption is fully accomplished, when our flesh enters into the heavenly temple, when God carves out time for us. Jesus is the prophetic priest-king ruling across all times and places. And in his eternity, Jesus has time for us. As he pondered the ascension a number of years ago, Pope Benedict XVI wrote, "God is not the prisoner of his eternity. In Jesus, he has time for us." And Jesus is thus, in actual fact, the throne of grace to which at any time we can with confidence draw near. And so this evening, as we dial the phone number, Jesus picks up. Hello? Jesus makes time to be with us in this moment, in this sermon, in this place at the altar. Jesus listens. But not only does he make time for us gathered as his church, this evening Jesus makes time for you. Just you. He makes time to listen to your troubled teenage heart. He makes time to be there. This is the good news of the ascension. God makes time for us. And so pour out your heart, sisters and brothers. God listens through Jesus in the Spirit. Christ is risen. Christ is ascended. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.